Hi, Lisa. Welcome to Living on Purpose.
Thank you so much, Lynn. My full name is Lisa Geraci Rigoni, and my book is called 17 Spatulas and the Man Who Fried an Egg: Reclaim Your Space Mentally and Physically.
Very nice. Well, we met through Becky Norwood of Spotlight Publishing House, and well, it must have been in the fall of 2021 because we did some work together. You got me to organize what? Seven drafts of your book into
Yes.
one. Yeah. And then you and your other developmental editor, Michelle Gill, she'd already been helping you. And then you and she went on for months. You didn't have a cover. I'd gotten it to a certain point, but oh, I was so happy to hand it over to you guys for a while. And then you came back. I kept in touch and later in 2022, and you had a cover, gorgeous cover, and I'm just delighted with our work together. Yeah.
Oh, thanks. I couldn't be more thrilled. You really, when we had that first conversation, it was something to the effect of, okay, I kind of know what I want. This is the idea, but I have so many versions. Like I was too deep in it to say, oh, this edition, this version has this in it. So does this one, but how does it match? And you, I don't know how you, I really don't know how you did that. I don't know how you figured out one version from all of those. You were a miracle worker on that first one. And that was what I was praying for. I'm like, I just need someone to look at all of these versions and put it into one. Because I had so many people suggesting how to write the book and how to format the book, I guess maybe that's the word. And I couldn't see, I was like, I was ready to give up at that point because it was just too much.
Well, I'm so glad you didn't, Lisa, because it's an amazing book. And I either loaned or given or sold copies to people, and they soak it up. Like, there is something about stuff. I mean, it is about stuff. It's about why we hold on to stuff. And you've got lots of stories. Yeah, the mental gymnastics that we go through as to what we hold on to and why. And I mean, I look around at my stuff. I mean, I have a lot of stuff. It's been legendary. I have moved probably 100 times in various forms, and I always have somebody new helping me because they go, oh, it's just a bunch of boxes. By the end of it, they're saying, ah, too much, you know, like what have you got in all these boxes? Like it's not a lot of furniture or appliances, and that's what fools them, right? I have a lot of stuff now that I didn't have 2 years ago. A lot of it's just come into my life since I moved into this apartment. But I know there's stuff in the closets. It doesn't need to be in there. Why is it in there? It's like they're placeholders or something, or I don't know what to do with extra space. What is it?
That's actually interesting. I never
Oh,
thought
let's talk
about
about
that.
it.
Yeah,
Let's talk
about
about it.
extra space. I wonder if that is. Oh, that's interesting. I should talk to some therapists about that. Because when I'm kind of the same. Like, I'm honest about my stuff, you know. I come to this business honestly as a professional organizer. And so I get it. I grew up with parents who collected things and, yeah, didn't have much space. I remember going to my in-laws years and years and years ago. They've since moved and opening up drawers in the bathroom that were empty.
Oh.
And I was like, what is this phenomenon? Like an empty drawer. It was the guest bathroom. So, and even in the closet, it was a higher closet. And then they had the doors that slide. There was empty room in there. You know, if my parents had that space, it would have been chock full. So that's interesting, Lynn. I've never thought about, have you ever thought about that? Like the empty spaceness?
I haven't until I said that. I think it just sort of came up as I was reflecting on how I see space. I think what could go in there, what could fit that space, right? It's like
Interesting.
I delivered mail for, well, for years, almost 20 years, and in one form or another had my own route for 10 years, and I would load up my car, and I love the process of sorting and organizing, bundling it all, and loading it all into the car and knowing exactly how I could fit into the trunk and into the back seat and into the front seat and anywhere I wasn't, you know, and then it would gradually disappear. And there would be sort of this, oh, you know, it's over. You know, like I had a lot of storage over the years, not all the time and not for long, but different forms of storage. Always loved that too. I love the sorting and organizing of it. It's like I can't get enough. What is, right? I open the door, everybody says, hi, Lynn. You know, it's like,
Well, I love that. I'm excited listening to you say that because I get very excited about that too. The organization, like I was talking to my daughter because she waitressed over the summer, and I used to love waitressing when I was a dancer, right? I was a professional waitress basically when I was a dancer. And I loved the organization of taking an order, going back into the kitchen, getting the right glasses and the cups and placing the order and figuring out what I needed for that next run to all the tables. And I'd go back. And I just love that. It's excellent for your brain, first of all, you know, keeping all those things in order, right? So the organizing like that, like, yeah, you know, okay, this is this house, and I'm going to go from this end to this house delivering these. And then I was like getting excited when you were talking. It's so weird. Oh, it's so weird, but it's so great because there's not many of us out there. And that's probably why you did so well with the manuscripts now that I'm thinking about it, because it's like, oh, that's the same as that. Like, we can negate that. We can, you know, that's done. What else? You know, that makes so much sense. So the empty space, I got to think on that, Lynn, because that makes sense. So, okay, let's do a little, you don't have to put this on the podcast, but let's do a little exercise. So when
sure.
you're in your closet, right, the clothes closet or someplace that you were imagining, when you take things out, say you take them out because you don't want them anymore, right? They don't serve a purpose. You can't fit into them, whatever. You don't like the style. And donate those. Could you imagine how great it's going to feel with that less cluttered space? Like, can you feel it in your body? Like when you were doing the mail, you're like, oh, it's gone. But then it's like, oh, now I get to start over. Or, oh, wow, I did a great job. I didn't need that. Maybe it's something like that.
Well, yeah, and in that situation, all the stuff belonged to other people. It wasn't mine.
Yeah, true, true, true.
Okay, well, what I'm thinking is, like, I actually don't have a ton of clothes. I don't know why,
So
but
what space, what closet were you thinking of?
well, I'll tell you what happened. I'm in this condo of 125 units, and a lot of the layouts are similar. Some are unique, but I have a corner unit with a long laundry room. Like, it's like a storage room. Awesome, right? I could close the door and have all kinds of stuff in there. Anyway, there's heavy plastic shelving unit. I had one of those since I moved in 2 years ago, and I had stuff on it and a file cabinet in there and laundry, and there's cupboards that were already there. Like, there's actually too much stuff in there, and it's a big thing on my list to calm it down again. Anyway, I went to my neighbor's, and I was just talking to her at the door, and I could see into her laundry room, and she had a mirror, big mirror on the wall, and a light in there, and a little sitting area, and pictures that were reflecting in the mirror. And I'm going, that's your laundry room like mine. Like, it looks so nice. It looks so welcoming. It looks like another room. And she said, well, you know, we have a small apartment for the two of us. Like, it's a one bedroom. We have grandchildren coming over. You know, when we have guests, it's nice to have a little place to sit and take your shoes off and on. And, you know, it's like having another space. I said, God, it's gorgeous. And I had just been making some changes in here. Like, I'd used to have a big mirror up on the wall behind here, and I decided to rearrange it when I moved my working desk. And I hadn't figured out where to put the mirror. So it was like, oh my God. So it was like one of those puzzles when you're a kid where you have all the pieces and you have to move one to move another, you know. All I need is something like that, and I'm all over it, right? Because that means that piece moves and then everything moves. So I realized that in my front closet, like at big mirrored closets, right? So the front foyer here, stuff was just jammed in there. I was really unhappy with how things were jammed in there on the shelves. And, you know, yeah, it's coats in there, but so much stuff. So I thought, you know what? I need to push the file cabinet back and get that shelving unit out of the laundry room so that I can have something for the mirror to reflect And I created a little sitting area and a little table. And this stained glass lamp I had just had fixed and I didn't know where to put it. I put it in there and I found an outlet that I could plug it into that I didn't even know was there. I mean, things were amazing. And then I cleared out the whole front cupboard and cleaned it and found things like on the shelf that really needed to get out. It was perfect. And then, yeah, cleaned it all up, cleaned the shelving. The shelving was clear. But of course, I need to fill it again. So I got it into the front closet then. I have shelving in the front closet and in one of my bedroom closets. I had two units and that's so yeah, I organized a lot of stuff that was in there and I did give some stuff away from there. I did have some extra scarves. I still do, but a lot of them I'm attached to. They were my mom's or somebody gave them to me. You know the stories. They're all in your book.
Well, that's great. Did you take a before after picture of that?
Yeah.
That's great, just to see, what it became.
I love documenting. Oh yeah.
Yeah, me too. Well, that's exactly what the book is about. It's like just figuring it out, making the time, looking at things differently. That's what it's about. And that's what I've learned through my clients for 15 years is really we give people their time back. I mean, that's going to save you time too when you find things because you didn't even realize some of that stuff was there, and making a sitting area. I was struck by how she didn't really call it a laundry room. Right? You call it a laundry room. So, laundry room in my head denotes a certain vibe. And hers was a sitting room. So, you're like, I didn't even see it that way. Right? So, it changes how you think about a room, and you did that. So, instead of it just being, oh, it's storage and it's laundry, close the door, hide all the shit, excuse my language, you made it into something livable and likable. So, good
You're
for you.
so right, Lisa. Seeing the glimpse of her room from the door like that, it changed my whole sense of the possibilities for that room. So that's astounding. And I wanted to tell you that I was just in Toronto for a couple of days this week, taking care of my friend's cat. And my brother came over. He's just nearby. He rode over on his bike for an hour each of those days. And the second day he came over, he said, "Oh, I just got a bunch of books. This lady has a bunch of books and stuff. And here's some paper. You want some paper?" And I go, "Oh my God, I can never have enough paper or firewood, but I don't have a wood stove anymore." We walk back down, and yeah, this woman's a professional organizer. And I told her the name of your book, and she knew immediately what it was. She did not think it was a cookbook.
Oh, wow. Well, did you tell her I was an organizer, though? Yeah, that's probably why. Wow. I hope she gets it.
I have her email. I'm going to send her a link to the book. Yeah. She was definitely keen to see it. And
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
yeah, she does all kinds of help. And so she does unofficial estate giveaways at the curb and all kinds of classic books, paperbacks. Like the guy apparently just has stashes of books. And these were just the soft cover. Like he has hard covers and then clipboards and paper. And I just can't get enough, right? So yeah, I got a big load of stuff still in my car.
Read them and then give them away, except for the ones that you really like. That's, I think, what my parents were. They were almost a dumping ground. If there's a use for it, if I want it, it's free. And I have the same thing. If someone's given something away, and not as much anymore because I really need to downsize it, but if it's usable, if there's things that I'm donating from a client that I feel someone else could use, everything we donate from our clients goes somewhere, to someone. And I was just talking to I had a consultation yesterday with another client, and she's like, I just don't want my stuff to be thrown out. And I said, oh gosh, it will not, because everything in here someone needs, someone actually doesn't have.
I don't know if we ever talked about this, Lisa. The name of your company, by the way, is the Organizing Mentors.
Correct.
Love that. Yeah,
Thanks.
it's really great. So, when I've moved, as I mentioned a few times, this expression comes up, and you know what it is. Oh, well, if you want to get rid of that, it's that rid of thing. Like every time somebody says that, or they're talking about their own process, getting rid of things, I always want to say something. It's like, please, like, can you say something else, like release it or move it on to someone else who can appreciate it? Or, because rid of is like garbage, like it has no value. And that's not true. And
Right.
so I really like the idea, and I think this has come up in your book too, of thanking things. And I've done that. Thank you for being in my life and make somebody else happy now.
And I think you were the one, it was either you or Michelle. And I think it was the get rid of. If you don't want it, get rid of it. And I think we changed most of it to release it. Release it from your energy, because if you don't want something and it is stifling you, right? Like Rumi's quote on the front of my book, life is a balance of holding on and letting go. If you're holding on to something for a negative reason, right? First, you have to acknowledge why you're holding on to something mentally or physically, right? But then when you realize, oh, I don't need this. Some people do want to say, I got to get rid of it, or I got to get out of this relationship kind of thing. You know, you if you're in a bad relationship, say release you. And sometimes people have to feel that way to get rid of something, you know, bad karma or bad whatever it is. But generally, I've started saying, because of us working together and Michelle, the releasing. I said it last night in a talk I did about the book. I said, you just have to release things. And I call it recycled love, because
Right.
someone else is going to need what you don't want in your energy, you know, from your energy. And I told a story. So my desk is right here, and I have a spare bedroom. This was just a couple months ago, so I haven't talked to you since. And I saw a little angel, little angel figurine. I don't know. I knew my mom gave it to me because she always gave me little angels. And I walked over to it, and I was like, you know, mom, I know. And she's gone. I said, I know you gave this to me. I don't remember when. I don't think mom's going to care, because it was beautiful. It was like this etched thing. And like, it's just sitting there collecting dust. I don't love it. I know it's from mom, but I have lots of wonderful things from mom that I remember where she gave it to me or where I was. And so I decided in my little head, and I said, you know, I'm going to donate it to Habitat for Humanity. Some mom, some boyfriend, some son, whatever, is going to see it and think it's a beautiful gift for their loved one. I mean, I get goosebumps when I think about that, because it is all about it. It's all about, if you can't, I don't want to say use it, appreciate it maybe, or if it's causing you stress, get it out, because the person who gave it to you didn't want you to feel that burden. So that's how I've been kind of approaching a lot of my clients since I wrote the book. I mean, I learned so much writing the book about myself and just going through it with you guys over and 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 over, just how powerful it really is. And the more people that talk to me about what they've gained from reading it, what they've learned about themselves and acknowledge, sometimes it's like, oh, I had no idea I had that guilt, or I had that negative feeling, or I had that great feeling about this. It was just sitting on my shelf for all these years, and I forgot. Oh, my best friend from college gave that to me, or whatever it was. But doing the work, it's like anything else. That's hard. You know, there's a fear going through things too.
Well, and you feel overwhelmed just thinking about it, and you think you're going to be overwhelmed to do it. And so
Exactly.
some people think, oh, I'll do something, you know, in the far corner of the laundry room, right? But I don't see in my daily routine. But it's more rewarding and more substantial to do something like a current drawer that you use all the time, or even the surface of the table in my kitchen. To clear something off, like sometimes what I'll do is I have my mom's card table from 1955 and I have it set up here in the living room. And quite often I'll move it to an area that I want to work on so that I can clear a surface like this desk needs to be cleared. I can clear everything off onto that, clean off the table, and then start a fresh arrangement of stuff. And that's right where I am every day, almost, you know. So
Yeah.
that really helps to refresh things.
So I want to go back to what you said about going in the back of a closet, because sometimes that's a good place to start, because
Okay.
that's the oldest stuff. It's remember the trick I had, like papers or too many sweaters, you know, stacked t-shirts and stacked, you flip it over. So the
Right.
stuff on the bottom is the oldest. Sometimes it gives you like, oh my gosh, I haven't used that in so long, or the paint is hard, or the glue is caked. So all that stuff in the back, sometimes it's easier. And then you do feel confident and you feel, okay, I can do this. again, if you follow the little system, right? LITL, if it's stuff that, oh, I can't go through that right now, don't move it over. Start the let it go, the first L. What is the stuff you know you don't want? So sometimes we do start strategically, I guess, in the back of a closet or in the depths of something because it's like, oh, that's the oldest stuff. Now, to see physically get the reward, yes, something that you use all the time or the space, you know, but the key is to get it out if you don't want it, not just to relocate things. Because people say that all the time. We organize all the time, but it all clutter comes back. Well, yeah, because you're just shifting papers. You're just moving the chaos somewhere else. You
Yeah.
still have to go through. You have to go through it,
Oh, I
you
have to. Ah,
know?
I borrowed this bureau with all these drawers in it. I went, oh, that's perfect because I'm feeling just overwhelmed with everything on surfaces. So I filled all the drawers just like that. And I've not opened them again since, although I do have a plan to do
And
that.
what is the plan and when?
Oh, the plan of the timeline. Well, I thought I would get the card table over at hand, and I would even get the shredder right there too, plugged in. Not even that I have to lean over. It's just right there at standing height. The bureau is tall, so I can work with the upper drawers and just be standing comfortably. So that's all really, it's a great plan. And because there's piles of papers, I don't need them all. That's what I move in boxes. And so it's like, okay, part of the reason I hold on to all this stuff, I think of it as the trail of my life. It's like the cookie crumbs marking where I've been. Like, I don't want the trail of my life to be blanked out. People in Maui right now, their houses and businesses are going up into ash. I mean, they don't have a chance to save even their shoes. I mean, I'm so upset to know about this happening. And so, you know, the luxury of having all this stuff around me, like what? I mean, what is life? You know, what's life for? And what's the point? And why do we find meaning in this stuff surrounding? Why do I find meaning? So, but I know that I can trim it down and, oh, but I keep doing all these projects for other people, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think you have a beautiful legacy. Your cookie trail is all the people you helped in, like editing all the books. Like, that's beautiful. Like, if you go through that for your legacy, you know, I know you're a male person, you were this, you've done lots of different things, but you know, I understand that. And it was like the guy with the train set. Remember? He wanted to leave something to show that his life had a meaning and a purpose and a, but not but. And I get that. You know, I've been thinking about that a lot lately, you know, because I work with clients who I have this one client that won't let me start because he wants his kids to come and take some like amazing, amazing things, amazing history. And he's framed all this 40s, 50s, 20s, like I can't even describe what it is. And his adult kids, one is a networking friend of mine, doesn't want it. Seriously, someone has to take this because this is history. What you're describing is your history. And I find that just as important. But also, I've had a couple more friends just pass away, just like that. Who is going to go through your stuff?
I
Who is,
know.
I know. So you do it. And that's one of the points I make in the book is you go through it because, first of all, no one's going to know what's important. And if just what is important is left for the most part, right? Then people will know, okay, this was important to Lynn. This was important to Jack, you know, or me. It's the going through. It's not fun.
And
But
if
you have control over it.
I
If
have
you are
control.
going through it, you have control and the
Yeah.
decision is yours.
And I have the ability to do it, and I have the time to do it. I can make the time to do it. And who's going to care as much as me? And you're right. That's a good mandate to take forward into this drawer by drawer process. Because what I figure, because I can stand at this bureau and put stuff on top and on the table nearby, like it's really a gift to have this for however long I have it from my neighbor, because she wants to keep it, but she can't. She doesn't have room for it right now. because part of what I'm realizing, I'm the oldest one in the family now, even though I don't feel that old. You know, our parents have died and I'm the oldest. And so, okay, it's up to me now to make these little care packages for my nieces and nephews and my brothers of things that would be important for them now or later. Like, I've already done some organizing of all these photographic prints, all the old style. I've already done a lot of organizing of that. But, you know, as I just drawer by drawer along the top thing, just keep bringing things into the top drawer so that I can keep organizing from there. It's an opportunity to just really get down to it and say, okay, this is the favor I can do for them. So they don't have to do all of it. I want to enjoy a lot of this stuff while I'm here. And if I'm still here in this condo, it's a perfect place. You just put a notice on the board, estate sale, and it's all here. You don't even need to move it. Just get people to come in and move it along, right?
I love that. And it's almost like you're when you're talking about your mail or my manuscripts, get a box. Every kid's name on it and just dump, 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 you know, just like sorting mail or sorting your stuff. And then it's there, it's full, you mail it off. It's there, it's full, mail it off. Because it sounds like that's what you want to do for your family. And I love that. I love that because then they'll have something and they can deal with it. You know, it's not like then you deal with it, you know, leave all the crap for them. But it's like here, I feel this is important for you.
Yeah, except as I'm saying that, I realize that all of them are, you know, wanting to trim down or their stuff doesn't even mean that much to them. So it's like, okay, well, this is what I'll do. I'll keep what's important for me. But it's just that, you know, I've been through and you've been through this too. It's like you go through enough people's stuff after they've died, and then you get sort of this a bit of an anticipation of what it might be like after you've died, right?
Exactly. Oh my gosh, exactly. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Jean and I are thinking about downsizing like we're going to. As soon as Marina goes off, you know, next week, I'm going to spend some time going through stuff. I did, but yeah, we definitely need to go through. I don't want it or need it.
Like you say, it's got to be done. And sometimes, you know, you can call on support. You can get a friend to come over and really give you some perspective and talk it out. Sometimes, like a friend has come into my place, looked around, and said, everything in here has a story. And he said, yeah, it does.
Right. It's like my lady who was a hoarder, and she said, all my friends are gone. Yeah. When we removed some of the, it was just clutter. It was just garbage. I mean, I hate to say that, but we didn't throw away anything. Like we threw away chicken bones
Oh
in
God.
her drawer, remember? Like
Right.
those were her friends. Anything she touched, she had a relationship with everything. And
Wow.
I understand that. I understand that, you know, especially if you're lonely or if you're she was up there 'cause she was sick. She surrounded herself with that, and that was healing for her at the time. It's different stories, different.
Yeah, different angles of things and purposes, and sometimes we just need to have some help, and that's you know, that's a great part of what you're doing with the organizing mentors and your book, the seven 17 spatulas and the man who fried an egg, and you have to read it to find out what that's all about. I just love that. Okay, so you mentioned hoarders. What is the difference between hoarders and lifers?
Yeah, I deemed the term lifers because there was a woman at this presentation I did yesterday, and she said, because I was talking about the book, and she said, well, I'm a hoarder. And I said, no, you're not. Most people who think they're hoarders are not. And hoarders don't call for help for an organizer because they don't think they have a problem or they don't want to admit, right? So when someone calls and says, oh, I think I'm a hoarder, and they have like five boxes in their house, you know, like, no, but it to them, it's too much, right? So they feel like it, you know, like they are. I mean, everyone has watched the hoarder show. Like you're not walking over feces and mounds of papers and, you know, have a path through your house. And we don't work with, so there's a hoarding scale. I mean, it's a mental illness. It has a lot to do with trauma, depression, anxiety. You know, there's so, it's like the umbrella, right? It's, you know, the umbrella of mental health. And so we will work with a hoarder if they're willing for us to help them. Like a therapist referred us, you know, and they're like the man who fried an egg, right? He was a hoarder. He had a very difficult time getting rid of stuff. And like the woman in my story also, they feel attachment. They feel loss. They feel
stuck.
Yes, yes, but they don't know it. It's like any addiction. I hate to lump everything, eating disorder, alcoholism, drug, you know, you get a high literally from buying things and from surrounding yourself and cocooning yourself to feel safe. A lot of people that I've worked with, and I can't speak, you know, I'm not a therapist, right? I always say that. I can't speak for, you know, a true expert in hoarding, but from what I gather and my experience with working with hoarders is that they feel an attachment, and people that are willing, you know, they're moving, or the county, you know, we've been called in because the county, you know, they're going to get evicted. And so they have to, it's a life or death situation. So they're willing for us to work with them. They need help. And for me, lifers, which my parents were lifers, people who have lived in their house for a long time, like my parents, for instance, when we were cleaning out their house, we found in the attic all our old medals and trophies, because you just don't get rid of it. And then who wants them? They don't want to throw them in the garbage because that was an accomplishment we made. You know, it was part of your history. So lifers are just people that just haven't gotten rid of stuff, which are most of my clients, especially the older ones. You know, so do you want it? Yes. Do you want it? No. Right? It's simple. It's not easy because you have to make the decisions. So that's what I think a lifer is. It's just, okay, we're moving, we're downsizing. We've had a great life, or we haven't had a great life, but we've kept everything, depending on the reason. Because people keep things, like I say in the book, to feel rich and to feel as good as the neighbor and keeping up with the Joneses and all that.
Lisa, I have a couple more questions for you. You mentioned the Little System, LITL. Do you want to explain what that is? And you said you can use it to help with other situations besides physical things in your life. Do you want to explain that for us?
Sure. Yeah. The Little System. So the name of my business used to be, when I first started in 2008, was Leave It to Lisa. So that's LITL, Little. And I have ADD, so I like acronyms. And I remember I just wanted to use that little somewhere. So when I started teaching and telling people what I did and training people to work for me, I created the Little System of organizing. And really, it's the decisions you make to make any decision in your life. I did this last night. I talked about the Little System. So the L is let it go. So what are the things you know you don't want? And I asked one gentleman in the group, Sam, because I knew who he was. And I said, Sam, so I'm going to prove to you that it works to make any decision. So you walked in and the waitress came and said, would you like a drink? And he said, yes. And I said, did you go through your head and say, do I want beer tonight or just a Coke? Or do I want wine? Do I want a mixed drink? Should I start with water? Right. So he let go of all the things he knew he didn't want. And he ordered, I don't know what he ordered, but he made that decision. I went to somebody else when they were ordering food. How did you order your food? Well, I didn't want a steak. I didn't want burger. I decided on a salad, right? And what kind of dressing? Well, I don't want ranch. I don't, right? So let it go is the step we make to make any decision in your life. And I have a bunch of examples, remember, in the book about that. And then the I is intentional. So he made an intentional decision to get a vodka 7, right? He decided to do it. He transformed. You transform your space like you did in that the closet, right? The space. Decided you made an intentional decision what you wanted it to feel like, what you wanted it to look like. And space was transformed. He was transformed. And then love it and live it is the last L. And that is, okay, you love the space now. Like it's clearer. It's a little less stressful. It's a little less cluttered. And he loved his drink, you know, so yeah, so it's really great. And I'm actually thinking about this as news for you. I wanted to put together an online program of the Little System. Yeah, I just don't know how to start that, but I'm going to. That's on my list by the end of the year. And an audio version of the book.
Oh, great. That's a really good idea because it's so easy to read. It'll be even easier to listen to. And that's great about the Little System because that was actually where you started.
That was going to be the book. booklet, basically pamphlet that I was going to hand out, and then it turned into this number one bestseller in 11 categories. Woohoo!
Yeah, it's quite amazing.
I don't think I could have done it without you, Lynn. It definitely
Well,
wouldn't have come together.
thank you so much. I'm very, very blessed and honored. Thank you.
Oh gosh, yeah. Thank you.
My life is better for meeting you and working with you on
Oh,
this book.
thanks. I'm glad. Even a little, right? Just a
Just a little.
little. Well, thank you so much, Lynn.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It's a real pleasure to have you featured on my podcast, and
Yeah,
I'll
I'm so excited. Thank you.
have a great day, Lisa.
You too.